In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
First thing that I want us to think about is that the prayers of the parents are cooperation with God in the holy work of shaping a Christian family. The prayers of the parents constitute cooperation with God in the holy work of shaping a Christian family. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." I can make no sacrifice except through Jesus Christ. No sacrifice I can ever make can be considered a spiritual sacrifice except in terms of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself on the cross. And all I'm doing is identifying myself with his sacrifice and accepting the sacrifice that he made for me. If I'm going to participate in his work of redemption in the world, if I'm going to participate in his work of raising these children, then I must offer the spiritual sacrifice of prayer for my children. And prayer is an acceptable sacrifice to God. And I pray through Jesus Christ, and we cooperate with God. Isn't it incredible that God asks for our cooperation? He could have done it all by himself, couldn't he? You know the story of the farmer who the minister went out to visit John's wheat farm. And as the preacher and John stood there looking out over these magnificent rolling fields of golden grain waving in the wind, the preacher turned to the farmer and he said, "Well, John, you and God have sure done a beautiful job here." And old John stood there and slapped his thigh with his cap for a minute and kicked a clod of earth with his boot. And he looked at the preacher. He said, "Well, preacher, you should have seen it when God had it by himself." Now, you know, God could plow the field and plant the wheat and make it all grow miraculously, but he doesn't do that. He gives us the earth and the seed and the sun and the rain, and he tells us to work. And it's the same way with our children. He asks for our cooperation. He is not going to do it by himself. I often wish that God would write my books for me, but he's never washed my dishes, and he has never written my books, and he has never done the work that he has assigned to us to do. He asks us to do it. And so prayer is, as far as I know, the hardest work in the world, but the most blessed. Let's remember when we pray that we are cooperating with God, and we must learn to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now, if you don't want God's kingdom to come, and you don't want God's will to be done, don't pray that. Because when you pray that, you are then covenanting with God to be a cooperator in the coming of the kingdom and the doing of his will. And it has got to begin in my heart. What is the point of saying, "Thy kingdom come," unless I am prepared to pay the price that is required of me as an individual? And there is a price for every one of us if we're going to cooperate with God. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, the taunt was flung at him with scorn. He saved others, himself he could not save. Truer words were never spoken. It was a taunt, it was a scornful challenge from an unbeliever, but it was true. He couldn't save himself if he was going to save you and me. And the same is true of his followers. We cannot save ourselves. As Susanna Wesley says, and I can't remember the exact words of the quotation, but she raised, well, she had 19 children. I've forgotten how many of them survived, but she raised quite a few of them, three of them being very notable people. But she said something along these lines, that nobody can do this who is not prepared to die to himself. And to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is going to mean my will be undone. It's going to mean my death. Paul said, death worketh in us, but life in you. So when we pray, we must think, first of all, to whom we come, to the Lord of the universe. We talked about that last night. I could spend hours on what this business of cooperating in prayer means. But let me just briefly give you some principles which are very important in learning to pray. First of all, put yourself in the presence of God and remember who it is to whom you come. Lord of the universe, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Do you know that phrase from the hymn? Oh, worship the King. And worship him in humility and silence. Do you ever put yourself before God in total silence and don't even say a word, even silently? Just in humble adoration, lift up your hands. The psalmist said, let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Just the lifting up of your hands may be prayer. When we say our Father, we are acknowledging the fact that we're children. We're just kids. We don't know what to ask for. And we come as a child to a father, utterly dependent, ignorant, expecting God to hear us. And then we ask these staggering petitions. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how is his will done in heaven? Continuously, gladly, joyously, faithfully, unfailingly. That's what we're asking for here on earth. In this home, in this little microcosm of the kingdom of God, which is a Christian family, thy will be done. Gladly, joyously, uncomplainingly, continuously, daily, faithfully, humbly. Go on, you can add 25 more adjectives. How is it done? This is the way it's supposed to be done. And our petitions, we're told to bring our requests to God. And foolish little children ask for a lot of foolish things, don't they? And if your little child asks you for 3 ice cream cones in a row, if you've got any sense, you're going to say no. Why? Well, because you hate him, right? And you never give him anything. That's what he thinks. And that's exactly the way we act with God, isn't it? God says no to 3 out of 5 requests, and we say, well, I never get my prayers answered. He never gives me anything. How come so-and-so gets her prayers answered? Well, you only know about the 3 she got answered, and the 59 that the Lord said no about you haven't heard about. He says no because he loves us. Some of his greatest mercies are his refusals. Can you think back to some of the stupid things you asked God for? And don't you thank God that you didn't marry that guy you fell in love with in the 8th grade? You know, I can remember Valerie standing in front of a mirror, just tears pouring down her cheeks when she was in the 8th grade, because some guy that she thought was just wonderful had not spoken to her that day. And I don't know if she was praying for him or not, but we have a lot of silly petitions. But remember, we have to start where we are. We are silly children, and we bring our requests to God. And remember that a request is a request. It can be fulfilled, or it can be declined. Same way with your little children. Prayer involves confession and intercession. And intercession is laying down our lives for somebody else. Laying down our time in order to consider the needs of these people on our list. Offering ourselves in obedience to Christ. If there's something that God wants us to do to help the answer of that prayer, then we have to be prepared to die. C.S. Lewis wrote, many a Christian prays faintly, lest God might really hear him, which he never intended. I can remember praying some prayers like that. Very often when I was praying as to whether God could possibly want me to go in and live with the Indians who had killed my husband. It was not just my life that was on the line, it was Valerie's life, you know, and she was 3 years old. Well, she was 10 months old when Jim died, and I started to pray, Lord, if there's anything you want me to do about the Alcas, I'm available. But it was certainly one of those prayers I never dreamed that God would fulfill. I never imagined that there could possibly be anything that God would want a woman with a baby to do about those particular Indians. But in the sovereignty of God, it did prove to be exactly what was required at some point. The impediments to prayer, sin, lack of love, and again, to quote wonderful C.S. Lewis, the worse one is praying, the longer one's prayers take, but we are still only at school. And remember that very often we pray for what we think looks like bread, and God knows that it's stones.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.